Shut the Hell Up is one of my favorites. Yeah, he named it that. That's all right with us. Elevation, another great book he's written. And, of course, one of the great recording artists in Christian contemporary music today. I've known this man since he was 9 months old. And now he's a grandfather. Would you welcome Terry Tripp as he comes?
I love you too. Wow. Happy birthday. 29 years. Well, is Jesus alive here today? Come on, is he alive in you today? Come on, the Bible says clap your hands, all your people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How many got a reason to lift your voice today? Come on. I was made to live like this, free from the bondage of sin, alive. I am born again and made to live like this. I was made to live like this. Righteous, victorious, prosperous, and glorious. Healed, healed, free, living in victory. Made to live like this. I was made to live like this. Now I was full of sin and darkness. I had no peace within. Judgment of my past, it was my closest friend. But then listen, then amazing grace, hallelujah, set my spirit free. And now Christ in me. Come on, say that with me, say Christ. Come on, lift it up again and say Christ. Christ in me is my hope for all eternity. Come on, say. I was made to live like this, free from the bondage of sin. Today I'm alive. I am born again and made to live like this. Now come on and declare these 10 words with me. Come on, say I'm righteous. Righteous, victorious, prosperous, glorious, filled, healed, free. Yeah, I'm living in victory, made to live like this. Yes, I was made to live like this. Now recession and depression are all around today. No hope in this world. That's what the news will say. But I got a better report. My needs are met. Yes, they are. I have more than enough because Christ in me. Come on, say it with me. Christ in me. Come on, lift it up today. Abundant life. Hey, is my hope. The bondage of sin. I am alive. I am born again and made to live like. Come on, how were you made to live? Lift it up and say, I am righteous, righteous, victorious, prosperous, glorious, healed, healed. I am free, yeah, living in victory, made to live. Now right here, this is your praise break. Come on and praise the Lord for who he has made you in Christ Jesus. We are more than a conqueror in him. We are world overcomers right here. Now you got one more chance. Come on, let's raise the roof and say, I am righteous, victorious, prosperous, glorious, I'm living in victory, made to live like this. Come on, say it. I was made to live. You know that I was made to live like this.
Come on, are there any overcomers in this house today? Come on, are you thankful that you're righteous in Christ? Healed, free, and delivered, praise God. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the finished work at the cross. And today, because he's alive, we live in him. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word today. And as your word goes forth, I declare it will not fall on deaf ears, but it will be sown into good ground where the thief cannot steal it. And in due season, it will grow forth a bountiful harvest. If you're in agreement with that today, say amen and give God praise. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Well, ever since I walked in, just about everybody I've talked to has said, "What is in the box?" And I regret to say I left the box at home. I'm kidding. Brother, will you bring me that box? How many of y'all want to see what's in the box? Now, for those of you visiting, praise God, it's not a snake. I know some have heard about that, so thank God it ain't that kind of church today. Amen. Before we get into this today, I just want to say it's such an honor to be back with all of you. You have a special place in our heart. We love you so much. I bring you greetings, of course, from my dad and mom. Today they're in Florida ministering. And my wife, Kim, and Isabella are at home. They said to tell all of you hello. And I've got three daughters. If you've never been with me in service, three girls, 24, 21, and 10. That's what I said. And now, since I was with you last time, I have been made a grandfather. Can you believe I am a grandpa? Steve, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't remember my grandpa looking like this. No, let me tell you what I mean. I thought they were old. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Come on, y'all, keep your mind saved. Amen. Keep your mind saved. But I'm so honored to be with you, and happy birthday, 29 years, man. Happy celebration day. I leaned over and asked Miss Brenda, I said, is there anyone here that was here on the first Sunday 29 years ago? And she kind of scanned across and said, well, Larry's been here for 29 years. I don't know, he should get a prize or gift card or $29 or something. I don't know. Just out of curiosity, is there anybody here? You have been here 29 years. One, two. How about on this side? Three, four, five. Awesome. Well, y'all, I don't know. Maybe a new car. I don't know. I'm kidding. But it's so good to be with you on such a wonderful occasion, and we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord today. And, you know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to celebrate and to worship and just to come together as a family. And I do have a word for you today. This is something that the Lord actually put in my heart in June of 2013. I woke up very early one morning with a statement. I will call it an anthem. It's actually been the vision of our ministry for the past year and a half to 2 years. I don't say this lightly when the word of the Lord comes to me. I know we use that term very often, some very loose, but it's only been a few times where I know that I have heard the voice of the Lord. And I've had some ask me, well, was it audible? Well, no, it was louder than that. And I really don't know how to explain that except, you know, you can get away from an audible voice. This is something I couldn't get away from. I mean, my hair hurt it, my toes hurt it, every part of my being heard this statement. I woke up June 2013, and I heard the word of the Lord say this to me, that America needs an awakening And before I give you the rest of what the Lord spoke to my heart that morning that literally shook me and my wife and my ministry at the core foundation, I'm going to reveal what's in the box. I did bring an item today in this box that is something that's been handed down to me actually as a generational gift. My dad gave this to me. His dad gave it to him. His dad gave it to him. And his dad gave it to him. So as you can imagine, this is a very special item in this box. Every day that I've had this in my possession, now it's nearly been 13 years, every day that I've had it, someone has tried to steal it. The charters of nations have been built and established upon what is in this box. Extraordinary good has come about because of what is in this box. Millions across history have staked their lives upon what is in this box. Now, I know some of you were already telling me, I think I know what's in the box. Well, let me just reiterate, and I said this on the video, it's not a religious item. It really isn't. It's not a book. It's not a cross. It's nothing religious. But what is in this box has been under crucial attack over the past decade. It is a drum roll or something. You know, we should close now and I'll come back in 2 years. And I'm kidding. What's in this box is the most powerful. I guess I should have asked if it was okay to bring a weapon in church today, because that's exactly what this is. It is a weapon unlike any other weapon. As a matter of fact, it's a weapon of mass destruction. It is the Holy Spirit breathed, living, life-giving, powerful Word of God. All right, now I know some of you are like, wait a minute. I thought you said it wasn't a religious book. It isn't. Although the world is trying its best to cause it to be just another religious book, it isn't. As a matter of fact, it's the only book you can read and have the author present while you read it. That's what makes this book so different. And as I hold this word in my hand today, something that has been handed down to me as a generational gift. And if anyone that's been raised in a Christian home, you've been raised in ministry, you've been raised in the church, then you don't take this lightly. You don't take it lightly. And as I hold this word in my hand, nearly 13 years ago, this December 28th will mark 13 years that this word has been more than just another religious book to me. It is life to me. I knew about God for many years, but I didn't know Him. How many know there's a big difference? Was raised in the church, raised in a Christian home, and I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. But 13 years ago, I began to know Him through His Word, and it radically changed my life. I kind of like to say it like this. When I was a boy, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday, drugged to church on Wednesday. Now, I have an addiction. I'm a word addict, amen, and God has been supporting my addiction for 13 years. And I just want to say, as I hold this word in my hands today, a generational gift, something that's been handed down to me. Every day I've had it, somebody's tried to steal it. Amen. I mean, Jesus said the thief comes immediately when the word is sown to steal the word. And today as I hold this word and I embrace this word, I go back to 2013, June, that morning, and the word of the Lord came so strong inside of my spirit. And this is what He said, strong in my spirit, and it will be the topic of discussion just over the next few minutes. And it was this, that America, this generation, our culture, we need an awakening to the power and the importance of my word once again. And this is what I heard loud inside of my spirit. America, this generation, our culture needs a revival of the Bible. Would you say that with me? Say revival of the Bible. Now, as a songwriter coming from a musical family, I thought, Lord, what is this? What is revival of the Bible? It's a rhyme, so I'm thinking, Lord, is this a song? Is it a message? Is it a book? Is it a video? What is revival of the Bible? I got up, went downstairs, began to write out some things, and as I began to pray, I began to have some things revealed to me, and little did I know, in June of 2013, revival of the Bible was all of the above, a song, a video, a book, a message, etc., but it was more than that, so much more than that, and it's something that I need your prayer of agreement on. I need your support. How many of you know America needs an awakening? Now, I know some people shun the word revival because of what it implies. It implies that something has died. Well, I trust you know me well enough to know I'm not implying God's word is dead. And how many know God's doing pretty good? So I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, you would have to admit that the hearts of people in our culture, not just in our culture, but have you discovered that even in some churches, amen, the hearts of people have fallen asleep to the power of the word of God. And the hearts of people need to be revived back with a passion. We need a revival of the Bible. I looked up the word revival, and it simply means to be awakened to consciousness, to have an awakening in your consciousness. It also means to become important again. On those two definitions, my heart screams, we need a revival of the Bible. We need an awakening in our consciousness to the power and the importance of God's word once again. We need for the word to become important once again. That's why I loved 2 days ago I went and saw War Room, who she was the star, or a also known as Star Wars. But that's beside the point. Amen. If you have not seen that movie, go see it. Because it sparked even in my heart an awakening to set aside a place to where we are in a battle. But you know what? I've read the back. Come on, am I alone in this place today? But we win, church. We win. But we must have something that stirs us, something that awakes our consciousness to an awakening for the Word of God to be important again. So on those two definitions, my heart screams, we need a revival. We need an awakening. We need for the Word of God to become important again, especially when our current government tries to make the Quran equal to this Word. My heart screams, we need a revival of the Bible. When I hear pop culture songs, especially some last year that hit number one on the Billboard charts, that literally spit in the face of the integrity of God's Word, my heart screams, we need a revival of the Bible. When I see certain preachers who were once on the forefront of a move of God and who were outspoken, those same ones now cowered behind their pulpits and they begin to edit their messages because they're afraid of certain liberal parties who threaten them to steal their 501c3 nonprofit status. My heart screams, who cares if they take your nonprofit status? The truth must be preached. Jesus is the way. Come on, the truth and the life. We need a revival of the Bible. When I see Western skepticism and Eastern mysticism dominate a culture that was founded upon the Word of God, my heart screams, we need a revival. We need an awakening to the power and the importance of God's Word. And so that morning when I woke up And I hear that statement. I said, Lord, what is this? What will that look like? How will we know we've got it once we get it? What is this? Church, I'm not talking about legislating morality. How many of you know people are going to do what people do? No matter what the law says, they're going to do what people do. And I'm not talking about making it required reading that we're trying to force our faith on students or people. Because quite frankly, there's some school teachers I don't want teaching this to my children. Amen. So what is a revival of the Bible? And this is what I begin to see. It is when the body of Christ, we tear down denominational walls, and we tear down racial walls, and we tear down cultural walls and theological walls, and we join hands together and we proclaim to this world that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or that is a revival of the Bible. When our young people, when children can carry this to school under their arm. Come on, can you dream with me for just a moment? And they're not afraid of being suspended or expelled. When teenagers can go to high school or junior high, and if it at the locker, if they see a friend who is sick, struggling, depression, suicidal thoughts, and they can go up to them and pray with them, and in the name of Jesus, command healing and deliverance to come. That revival of the Bible. And so when I begin to see this like a movie picture, I ask the Lord, Lord, have you been watching CNN? That is not the pulse of our culture right now. And I said, oh Lord, I see that we need this. But Lord, how? When you watch the news, when you hear what's going on, when you see everything in government and everything that's going on, how many of you know the world can make you feel about that small? That your little bit won't really make a difference. You're just a minority, etc. And I begin to say, Lord, how? How can we experience such an awakening, such a passion back in our culture that was founded upon your word? And the Lord reminded me in the Old Testament, whenever he wanted to change the heart of a nation, whenever he wanted to shift a people, he always used a prophet to speak forth words. How many of you know there is power in the words you speak? Again, I refer back to War Room. Man, they illustrated so well the power of prayer and the power of the words that we speak. Solomon said, the power of life and death is in your tongue. That's why it's so important, moms, dads, grandparents, the words that we speak over our children. We are literally creating their future with the words that we speak, blessing or cursing, life or death, sickness or health, bondage or freedom with the words we speak. So since there must be a release, since something must be spoken into the atmosphere that will change the heart of a nation, that will awaken a generation to a revival, then let me be the first to stand up and say to our current government, let me be the first to say that to the liberal news media, let me be the first to say to certain parties who would try to silence preachers in their pulpits, let me be the first to say, you can't stop it. It moves at the speed of light. You cannot silence it. It says the sound of many waters. Abraham Lincoln called this the greatest gift given to mankind. It has the power to elevate your mind. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and powerful. Psalm 107:20 says, the word produces healing and deliverance. How many of you know that's what our culture needs today? They need a healing. They need a deliverance. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. Come on, preach back to me today. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. And a verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. And hey, this one's for me. It gives understanding to the simple. You know what that shows me? If you were born stupid, you don't have to stay stupid. Amen. That's good news. Look at your neighbor and say, that's for you. That's for you. All right, that's enough. Some of y'all like, that's for you, your mama, your sister, your auntie. Amen. Psalm 119, 89 says, forever. How long? Forever. Not just one generation or one culture with shepherds. But forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:23 says it best, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Church, America was founded upon the Bible. The reason why they established the public school system, it was not to teach English, math, science, or social studies. And those things are fine. That's great. But the reason why our government established the public school system was to teach children how to read the Bible. It was the very first textbook in public school because the government said, if they can learn that book, we will be the most successful nation that has ever been. Our first president, George Washington, said, it's impossible to govern the world without the Bible. Napoleon said, the Bible is no mere book. It's a living creature with a power that conquers all who oppose it. William Penn said, if we will not be governed by God and His Word, we will be ruled by tyrants. Boy, has that proven to be true. Sir Isaac Newton said, there are more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than anything. I study it daily. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we shall overcome because the Bible is right. And today, in Florence, South Carolina, I echo that statement from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I tell you, we shall overcome because the Bible is right. Come on, we need a revival of the Bible. Some people say that science disproves the Bible. I believe that is the answer to the question, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Amen. I was watching this Science Channel, History Channel, something like that, and they were showing outer space and the Earth and all of this stuff, and they were twisting it and spinning it in this light, showing that, you know, the science, it actually disproves the Bible. Well, if that's your belief, let me just remind you of one scientist, the most famous of all time, Albert Einstein. He was asked if he accepted the historical existence of Jesus and the validity of God's word, to which he replied, unquestionably. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of the Jewish carpenter. And I quote him to say, his personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. There's another quote that I want to give to you. And I don't want to give this to you. I want you to hear it and see it for yourself. I remember in 1983, I was just 10, 11 years of age. And I still remember it as if it was today, watching on the news media. Whether you believe with his politics or not, that's not the case. But I remember when Ronald Reagan stood up in front of every news media. I was a boy. and he declared it, 1983, the year of the Bible. And we need a revival of the Bible. And at that same press conference, which was carried by every newspaper, every magazine, every news channel, carried this conference. I want you to watch this and hear from his mouth what he said about the Bible. Watch this.
Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny. Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we'd only read and believe. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all praise him.
Church, we need a revival. That's what presidents have said. That's what leaders have said. That's what men and women, great politicians, great leaders of our nation have said about this word. Would you give me just about 2 minutes to tell you what I say about this word? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is more valuable than money can afford. It makes hell shake, the devil quake, causes sick bodies to be healed. It raises the dead to the hungry. It is bread, sets captive people free. And in the battlefield of your mind, the word of God is your victory. It's the one thing the devil does not ever want you to get a hold of, because when you're under the circumstances of life, it's the force that lifts you above. Call me a fanatic, extreme, or obsessive, but this I know for sure. For all of the things that trouble this world, the word of God is the cure. That's why we need a revival of the Bible. Yes, we do. Church, America has enjoyed the strength and the freedom that God's word brings. That's why the enemy fights to silence this word and the song of freedom that we sing. Our forefathers bled and they gave their lives to bring God's word to me and you. It would do their blood an injustice if we do not stand for what is true. Some say it was great for our forefathers, but you know, in our culture, it doesn't connect. Well, I ask, when did protecting life become politically incorrect? It's time we proclaim what we believe. It could mean our survival. That's why from the church house to the White House, we need a revival of the Bible. Church, I'm here to tell you today, God's word is alive. And this is our finest hour. Let's come into agreement, stand for what is right, and release its awesome power. Who will join with me and say, this book is not about God, it is God. It's his nature, his thoughts, his DNA, and it's exactly what this generation needs back in the U.S. of A. Come on, we need a revival of the Bible. Come on, why don't you just get your Bible and just hold it in your hands. Thank God for this word, church. Thank God for this word. It is the word of God that we overcome with. Revelation says you overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. Church, when the Lord woke me up that morning, you may be seated, in June of 2013, I said, oh Lord, yes, yes, we need this. And I went downstairs, began to write out what the Word of God means to me and the power of the Word of God. And I said, Lord, what is this? Is it a book? Is it a song? Is it a message? What is revival of the Bible? Little did I know that morning that it was all of the above, plus what I'm about to share with you now, that I cannot do alone. It's bigger than me. I can write a song, can write a book, can share a message, but what the Lord put in my heart that morning is something I cannot do alone, and I need your prayer of agreement. I went into our recording studio that week, did the song. The next month, flew to Washington, D.C. We recorded the music video at the Capitol, the White House, the Lincoln Memorial, etc. But that morning as I was praying, how many know when the Lord speaks something to your heart and as you begin to meditate on that and you begin to pray over that, it expands. The more is revealed to you. My wife got up, came downstairs, and as I was praying, I said, come here, honey, agree with me. The Lord is really putting something in my heart, and I got to tell you, I'm very humbled by it, because has the Lord ever spoken something to you and you thought, Lord, did you pick the right one? You know, I just didn't feel qualified. But you know what I've discovered? God has never had anyone qualified working for Him yet. Amen. Come on, you need to say thank you, Jesus, over that one. Amen. So He just looks for somebody that's willing. If you're willing to do it, man, He'll use you. As we begin to pray, this is what the Lord spoke to our heart that is bigger than us. We cannot do it alone. It is this. Between now and the next presidential election, I believe we have a window of opportunity. How many of you believe Jesus is coming soon? Man, I really believe that. And I believe whatever. Now listen, I'm not asking who believes in pre, mid, or post. Amen. We may differ on that, but I can tell you one thing maybe we can all agree on. We're going on the first load. All right? Okay, that's just me. Okay, that's my belief. Amen. But I do believe He's coming soon. And my point is this. Whatever we're going to do, we got to do it now. And I believe we have this window of opportunity to make a vital change that is so it's vitally needed. Something to happen in our culture, and it starts with us. And this is what the Lord has put in our heart. Between now and this next presidential election, we have developed a website. You don't have to write this down, because in just a moment I'm going to give you something, place it in your hands, that will have the information. We've developed a website, revivalofthebible.org. On the home page of that website, there is a petition. And when our ministry receives 1 million names on that petition, we are going to go to Congress, and we're going to let them know that America wants the Bible back in public schools. Amen. That's our vision. That's our vision. Church, that's bigger than me. Amen. I can't do that alone. And you know what I've discovered? I'm not alone. There are millions upon millions of born-again believers who have been desiring the same thing, but we just didn't really know the strategy or how to do it. And I'll tell you, when the Lord put that in my heart, I said, Lord, how can we do this? And He reminded me of a friend of mine who is in the political realm. I called him. I said, sir, I got to ask you something. We've been praying. I was crying. I said, this is what's in our heart. I said, the Word of God is everything to me, and I believe our children. Now, I want to say this to you, because I've been accused. How many know the enemy comes immediately? Amen. Because people have accused. I'm talking about, quote, brothers and sisters in the Lord have accused me of saying, are you trying to make it required reading? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to force my faith on a generation. But I do believe that a nation that was founded upon the Word of God has a God-given right to carry this where they want to carry it and share it if they want to share it. The world is asking us to give them freedom of choice. Well, why don't you give our children the freedom to choose what they want to read? Come on, let's play fair. And so I called my friend. He said, Terry, I'll tell you, if you were just one person or one local ministry, I don't know if you could do that. And he began to say, do you know how a movement is started? I said, tell me. He said, have you heard of the Tea Party? I said, yes. He said, it wasn't just one big event that takes place. He said, but the way it works is it's when one little spark happens here, and then another one happens here, and then here in America, and then all of those sparks become like a wildfire. That's how he explained it. And he said, and then that gets the Capitol's attention. He said, and I can now see how the Lord has strategically placed your ministry. Yesterday, I spoke in Glasgow, Kentucky. Huge city. Amen. I'm kidding. But it's right there on the border of Tennessee. Today, I'm here. Next Sunday, I'm in Oklahoma City. The next one is Canada. Praise God. They need a revival too. Amen. Let's take it. But the Lord is sending us everywhere, and I can spark these little, spark the hearts, amen, of people to have an awakening to the power of God's word. And he said, Terry, this can happen. This can happen. Now, there are already ministries in place that have after-school Bible studies, and we support them. But I don't think that's good enough. When our schoolroom, our classes were built and established on the Word of God, I believe our children, my grandchildren, should have the right to take this with them. I hung up the phone and I said, Lord, give me wisdom. How do we get this word out? How do we get this word out? And the Lord reminded me of the power of a book. Pastor Carl mentioned my book, the bold title. How many of you know hell is roaring in this generation? And that book he mentioned gives you three weapons: the cross, the word, and our praise. And those three weapons empower us to shut the hell up. And we, because of partners helping us, churches helping us, this church helped us. We have been able to ship now over 8,000 copies to men and women behind prison bars. I've got a file folder filled with cards and letters, how the Lord has set people free through his word. And that was all because of a book. Anybody ever heard of T.L. Osborne? Remember him, a very famous missionary. He said this about a book. He said, a book can go where a preacher can't. He said, a book is always speaking. It never shuts up. He said, a book catches someone when they're most receptive. He said, a book doesn't have an accent. A book never gets a headache and never complains about its pay. Amen. It's always speaking. And so he was illustrating the power of a book. And the Lord reminded me to write a little book. And I did that. And the title is ROTB, Revival of the Bible. But we named it ROTB for a reason. The word says, be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We can take these books into schools. We ship boxes of them to youth groups, churches, businesses. And we call it a history book. Amen. And it gives you some history. Praise God. What was the first textbook in public school? That's history, church. Be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Well, I brought those books with me today, and every one of you gets a copy. No charge, absolutely free. The ushers are coming now to put a copy. The ushers are coming to put a copy in the hand of every person here. Now, I brought like 210. There's more than that here today. But I want at least every couple, every home, at least get a copy or two if you can, if we have enough. If we run out, don't worry, I will send you some more. We'll get this out. But I really want you to take this book and read it. It's only 32 pages. That's it. You can read it within 20 minutes or so, but it has so much information. It has revelation. Man, this is exciting. Praise God. Everybody gets a book. This is awesome. Man, I feel like Oprah Winfrey. You get a car, you get a car, you get a... But how many of y'all know this is better than a car? Amen? Now, this is exciting. It really is. I see some of you already reading it. Man, that blesses my heart. But hey, look up here. All right? It's a blessing to see you read it, but put it down. Just hold it. You got the book the rest of your life. You got me 10 more minutes, okay? So just hang out with me and let me talk to you and tell you what you've just been given. I want to explain to you the power of this little booklet, because when the Lord put it in my heart to get this book into print, I thought, Lord, what can I put in 32 pages that will show this generation who maybe has not sat in a church like this and just heard for 30 minutes the power of your word and what leaders have said? I said, Lord, what can I say in just 32 pages that will turn their heart toward you and show them that your word is valid, that it can change their life? And so I did what all of us do in our culture. I went to Google. Come on, y'all, right? And I Googled history of the Bible. Hey, don't do that. Because what I got was about 4,000 different opinions. And a lot of them were ticked off atheists. Amen. But here is the awakening I had. I quickly discovered we are living in a culture where God's word is under crucial attack. And I quickly found out the pulse of our culture, and it is this. They not only get answers to questions, but they question the answers. They want to know, well, why do you believe what you believe? It's just another belief system. What makes yours the truth? What makes yours the way? I mean, there's so many religious books out there, and I said, Lord, what can I put more than just history? Because I quickly found out we cannot debate anyone into salvation. Come on, those days are over. And it has to take, in this generation of social media, it takes more than just a guy thumping a Bible saying, you're going to hell, turn or burn, repent or else. They want to know, well, why? What good is that? I mean, there is so much coming at them. How can we prove this word is the word of God? And so I said, Lord, what can I put in 32 pages? And church, the Holy Spirit breathed into me three things. Three things that answers every question. Three things that cannot be debated. Three things that silences every atheist. Three things that are in your little booklet. Number one, a lady standing over a blanket. Number two, a four-year-old boy with 26 major diseases. And number three, a preacher's son who died from a drug overdose. Those three things, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be debated. Those three things silences every atheist. It answers every question. Is this word real? Is it valid? Those three things. Number one, a lady standing over a blanket. The room was filled with doctors as this lady was giving birth. And the doctors gave the husband, the father, a choice that no man wants to make because of some complications in the birthing. They said, sir, we can either save your wife or the baby. And he said, well, save my wife. And so because of some complications, this baby was born dead. They wrapped her lifeless body in a blanket and began to work on the mother. And that baby's grandmother was in the room. And she was one of these Holy Ghost filled with the evidence. of speaking in tongues. Come on, how many of y'all know that ain't a cuss word? I've been to some places they'd rather you cuss than pray in the Holy Spirit. And she didn't care who was around. She didn't care where she was. She's one of these ladies that would have come to Abundant Life Fellowship. Amen. Abundant Life Church. She knew the authority she had in the name of Jesus. She walked over to that blanket and that lifeless body. She began to take the authority that she had in the name of Jesus and begin to command life to come back into this body. And she began to declare that this baby shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord, and that her seed would touch the nations. And they said the blanket started to move. And they unwrapped that blanket, and a scream came out of that body. And the baby in that blanket was my mother. The lady who prayed was my great-grandmother. Church, no atheist can debate that. You want to debate theology? Go ahead. But it's when you say the name of Jesus, that is when you get results. The second thing that's in your book that you're not allowed to read yet. Anybody ever heard of R.W. Shambach? I'll never forget. Some of you are like, did he just spaz out on us? Amen. If you don't know who R.W. Shambach, man, he was a tent revivalist back in the day. And I'll never forget, I was 14 years old. Our family went to the Bronx in New York City. And R.W. Shambach sat up that big tent, 10,000 people. I'll never forget it. 14 years old, standing on his platform. And our family begins to sing the song my dad wrote. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. And I saw as thousands begin to sing this. And then R.W. Shambach came up and he began to preach. And after it was over with, we were in this little private room. And somebody had asked him, what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? And I'll never forget it. 14 years old, and I see this man of God. No hesitation. He told of a 4-year-old boy with 26 major diseases. It was when he was the assistant with A.A. Allen, who was another tent revivalist back in the 30s, 40s. And Shambach was his assistant. And he said, I remember one afternoon, A.A. Allen was preaching, and he said, I saw this mom coming down the aisle. 3,000 people filled the auditorium. And he said, all I could see was a mangled mess in her arms. He said, this boy, his tongue hung out of his mouth. His eyes were just milky white. There was no color. He had never spoken, never seen. He said his arms and legs were twisted, his elbows touched his knees, had never walked a day in his life, and his mom came with tears and said, I need 26 miracles for my boy. He said, I took that mangled mess in my arms and I put him in the arms of A.A. Allen, the man of God, and he began to pace the stage and told everyone in the auditorium, said, bow your heads and close your eyes. R.W. Shambach thought, not me. I'm going to watch this one. Amen. And he said, I walked with him and I could see firsthand 2 feet away that boy as he began to speak words over his little body. He began to command the muscles and the bones and the joints begin to come back into place. He said, I command on the authority of the Word of God. Satan, take your hands off of God's property. You have no business over this child. He began to command sight, began to command strength to come into his legs. And R.W. Shambach said, the first thing I saw was that little boy's tongue snapped and it went into his mouth like a rubber band. It just snapped. And he said, the second thing I began to see was a pool of blue begin to just like come into his eyes. He said, I heard loud, his arms popped, his legs popped, And he said, I saw him that day get 26 miracles. And he said, he set him on the ground and the little legs were shaken, but his first two steps were into his mama's arms. And he said, I heard the first word, he said, mama. No atheist can debate that. How many of you know that ain't good luck? That ain't just because all the stars lined up perfectly. The third thing that's in your book that I believe answers, is this word real? Can it be trusted? Is it valid? One of my favorite teachers out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, Andrew Womack. His son died from a drug overdose. And he said, my wife and I were in the bed asleep. We were an hour away from the morgue. He said, our oldest son called us and said, Dad, get down here. Peter has just died from a drug overdose. And he said, I had every thought a father would have. Lord, what's going on? And that's my boy. And I mean, all of these emotions. And he said, but out of my spirit, I told my boy on the phone, I said, the first report is not the final report. And he said, for an hour as we're driving, he said, we knew our son was already stripped, already in the cooler, and the tag was already on his toe. He said, but on the way there, we just begin to praise the Lord and begin to sing praise and in worship. And like the atmosphere changed when Brother Potter was up here and just singing, as the atmosphere began to change of worship, how many know there's power in praise and worship? There really is. And he said, we just begin to fill the atmosphere of our car with worship. And we begin to declare, Lord, we know you didn't do this to our boy. This is seed and harvest. The enemy has cashed in. And no matter what happens in this situation, we're going to declare you're a healing Jesus. And that you're still alive. But Lord, I still have prophecies yet to be fulfilled, spoken over my son. And I'm just going to dare to believe and to trust you. He will be raised. He said, we got to the morgue. He said, our oldest son met us at the door. And he said, Dad, I don't understand it. But 10 minutes ago, Peter sat up in the cooler and began talking. And he's alive today. Church, no atheist. 5 hours dead. Come on, I mean, we're talking about like Lazarus stuff. Y'all know what I'm saying? And here's what the Lord has challenged me to do today, and it is this, to tell you the same God who did that for my mom, the same God who did that for that four-year-old boy with 26 diseases, the same God who did that for that preacher's son is the same God that is alive, and his power is here today to do in you what nobody else can do, to heal, to deliver, to set free, to release a revival of the Bible. And today, no matter what you're facing, maybe you're here and you say, Terry, this is for me. I need a revival of the Bible in my life, in my mind, in my home, in my family. How many of you know before it can happen in our culture, it must start in our community? It must start with us. And so before we can take it to our culture, we must have it as well. We must have it first. And so today, if you're here and you say, Terry, I need an awakening. I need for the Word of God to be released in my life. Maybe some of you've been battling with maybe depression. Maybe some of you have been battling in your home. Maybe the enemy has come after your family and been attacking. And I mean, just all of this stuff. And you need a revival of the Bible in your life. Then I'm going to ask you right now, I want to release that word. I want to release the word that will release the revival in your life. An awakening to the power of God's word. If you need that in your life right now, at the count of three, I want you to stand up. On three, I'm telling you, the devil's getting nervous. Right now, one, two, three. If that's you, get up. Get up. Get up. If you need an awakening to the power of God's word, get up. I want you to lift your hands and I want you to receive right now these words. In the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, we speak to every infirmity, every sickness, every disease, every attack of the enemy, and we render you powerless in the name of Jesus. You have no hold over the child of God. That spirit of depression, the depressing spirit throughout this culture, we break your hold in the name of Jesus. And we release peace right now. I release strength right now. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of division in the home, we break your hold right now. We thank you that our God crushes the head of Satan under our feet in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no more room in our home. You have no more room in our children. No more room in our families. In the name of Jesus, we speak the living word of God to flood in this situation. Hallelujah. An awakening to take place right now. Now, Lord, I know what you spoke to my heart in June of 2013. That it starts in the church house. This revival starts in the church house. It doesn't stop here. It starts here. Lord, I thank you that as we have been awakened to the power and the importance of your word once again, it will go into our communities. We will take it into the streets. We will take it into the stores. We will take it into our businesses. We will take it into the schoolhouses. We will take it into the local government. We will take it to the national government, praise God. From the church house to the White House, praise God. We thank you for a revival to sweep across our nation, unlike anything that has ever been experienced before. Lord, I know what you spoke to my heart when I said, Lord, how can we do this? How can we get this out? You said you have people of like precious faith that would agree with us in prayer, agree with us in support. Lord, I believe there are some even in this room now, you've been speaking to their heart. Lord, we receive them now. We receive their prayers. We receive their support into this ministry. And we declare by the time this year is over with, a revival of the Bible. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Come on, are you in agreement with this today? Amen and amen. Very quickly, please, before Pastor comes, would you take your seats quickly? I want to give you two things to meditate on. Number one, how many of you would say this word is a needed word in this generation to take to our culture and into churches? I want to ask you to help us. I want to be bold enough, and this is a little uncomfortable for me. However, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain so he that reads it can run with it. Allow me 2 minutes to write this vision upon your heart. We can shout amen. We can stand to our feet and clap. But how many of you know it's going to take more than that to get this accomplished? Amen. This is where it happens. This is the spark. But now we got to put feet to our faith. How many of you would just by a show of hands, either this afternoon, tonight, or this week sometime, when you're alone or wherever, on your computer, on your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, would you go to revivalofthebible.org, take 45 seconds, that's it, and would you get on the petition? Let me see your hand if that's you. All right, one more thing. We can get the word out so quick through social media. Would you just maybe copy and paste that website on your Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media you have, and share it? We can reach thousands immediately. Would you help us do that? One more thing, in your booklet is a little piece of paper and an envelope. You are now allowed to open it. And I want to ask you to do one thing with us. On one side of that little piece of paper, it says Revival of the Bible Petition. If you would rather just take a few just a minute or about a minute and a half after the service. Don't do it now, but after the service, just take it and fill that out. If you would rather do that, if you don't have a computer or you're not computer literate, just take a moment and fill that out. And here's the instruction. At the end of the service, I'm going to be right back there at the table. I'm going to have my Bible open. And if you would, just take that paper, fill it, and put it on top of my Bible. This week, our office will automatically add your name to the petition, okay? One more thing. When the Lord spoke this to our heart, He gave us a vision, and it was this: to print and distribute 1 million copies of these books between now and the next presidential election. That's a big vision. That's a big goal. But how many know all things are possible to those who will believe? And then He said one key word to my spirit: free. I said, Lord, that's a good idea. But then I called our printer, and he was not in agreement. And I said, sir, what would it take to print 1 million of these books and over the next year and a half and distribute them into churches, into schools, into businesses? He gave me the price, and this is what we're believing for. Just 3,000 people with a gift of $180. With that, we can print and distribute these books. Now, church, we have been shipping boxes into schools, into youth groups. There's a youth pastor in Cincinnati, Ohio, that just started a Bible class at their public high school. And they started with 3 students. This week, they had 90 students. And it has had such an effect on the drug and alcohol percentage that 2 other schools in the same county have come and asked him to start a Bible class in their school as well. Now, church, that's where it starts. They've been giving out the books. Another pastor's daughter in California, Orange County, California. As a result, that spark got in her heart. She started a Bible class. Church, this is how we do it. And I'm just honest enough to say I can't do it alone. I need your help. Would you pray? Would you pray? And you know our heart. You know our family. You know me. I don't ask for a show of hands who's going to give what. I just shoot straight with you. Here's what we're doing. Will you help us? If you feel that the Lord would speak to your heart to be one of those, to give that gift of 180, would you just fill that flip side of your piece of paper out and at the end of the service, tuck it in the envelope, seal it, and then just lay that on my Bible. Whatever comes in back there, we will put it to use to print and distribute more of these books because I do not want to charge anybody for it. So if you believe, come on, don't let me lose my amens now. Boy, y'all getting silent now. Amen. You're listening. That's good. So let me say one more thing. I have some books back there, some CDs back there. Since I was with you last time, the Lord has really challenged our ministry. November of last year, I was in North Carolina, just finished a service, driving to the airport to fly home. And the Lord said to me as I was driving home, do you want to enter a level of giving and receiving few people have ever experienced? I said, yes. He said, then stop charging for the gospel. That is why, from November of last year until the day I am with the Lord, there will never be a price ever again on my books or my CDs. He said this to my heart, Terry, trust me to speak to the hearts of people on what to give, and I'll bless you more than you ever dreamed of. That was my response. Oh. And let me tell you, if you try to tell a record company in Nashville that, they're not in agreement with you. Amen. But how many know we don't visit faith, we live by faith. Now, let me just balance this and say I'm not judging anyone who does because, man, for 30-plus years I did, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my point is this. God didn't speak that to everybody. He only spoke that to me, so I'm the only one responsible to carry that out. So whether you give $5, $100, one lady yesterday gave $500. And I gave her two books, praise God. Here's my point, church. No matter what you give back there, I don't ever want money to hinder somebody from getting the gospel. Okay? Now again, I can't do that alone. So it takes people. It takes you being sensitive. So you pray. If you're making out a check back there, just make it out to TTM. You can use your Visa, MasterCard. No, wait. I don't have my phone, my Square. Check or cash or Starbucks cards. Amen. We'll take those. Pastor's going to come. Don't anyone leave. I'm going to do something special in just a moment. You guys remember that song, We've Got the Power? How many would y'all like to maybe end this service? I think that'd be a good song. But I'm not going to do it the way you remember it. Don't leave. This is going to be special. I love you. Pastor Carl, would you come? God bless you. Thank you so much.
Have you enjoyed Terry Tripp today?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, don't anybody leave. Terry's going to close with a song, but I know you will stop by his table on the way out and be a blessing to him and be blessed by a book or a CD. But let's receive an offering for him right now. Would you like to participate in that? Uh-oh. Oh, I say, would you like to bless the man of God today? Well, he certainly has been a blessing here. Ushers, if you will come. And we'll give you a moment to prepare a gift. We want to receive a love offering. We do this when we have an evangelist on a Sunday morning. We always like to bless the man or the woman God sends us. And, boy, you have really challenged us. If you can take this word to every church in the nation, we would be a different people. Father, thank you for what we've heard today and for the witness of your Spirit. Thank you that we've not gathered alone in this room, but you have been with us today in a powerful way. Thank you for today being one of the greatest days in 29 years of our history. And we receive the word of the Lord and the challenge that has been extended to us. And our response to you is yes and amen. And our response to the messenger is God bless you, Terry. Bless you as you leave our city and go to the next one. And we thank you for being obedient to bring us the word God gave you for us and for being obedient to obey the voice of God in all these matters. And we just sow a seed now that will not remain small, but it will grow up and it will become greater. And we're calling for the harvest from this seed to be nation-changing. And we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to play a part in what you're doing in our nation today. Thank you for a revival of the Bible for America. Yes. And we give toward that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you are writing out a check, you can make it out to Abundant Life. We'll make sure everything that comes into this offering goes to Brother Terry for his work throughout the nation and other nations, in fact. Yes. Would you stand with me, please, as the ushers serve you? Let's welcome again Terry Tripp as he closes.
Amen. Now, I want you to help me on this song. And I want Carl to sing. Would y'all like to see him do the moonwalk? Let's keep it spiritual now. Amen. Bring the music up, brother. Come on now. Put your hands together.
Give me your hand, yes. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. 'Cause whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven at the name of Jesus today. Satan's got to flee, yes he does, because we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power
In the name of the Lord. Come on, say it.
We've got the power.
In the name of Jesus.
We've got the power.
In the name of the Lord. Those Satan rages, we will not be defeated. Because we've got the power. Yes, we do. In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
You're next. For many years, Satan has tried to stop us. But the Church of Jesus, we are still alive. And like a mighty army, we keep marching onward. We're winning. In the name of the Lord,
those Satan rages,
we will not be defeated.
We've got the power.
In the name of the Lord,
we've got the power.
In the name of Jesus,
we've got the power.
In the name of the Lord, those Satan rages,
we will not be defeated.
Because we've got the power. I want you to lift up your voice today and say, we've got the power.
We've got the power
in the name of Jesus.
We've got the power
in the name of the Lord. Come on.
We've got the power
in the name of Jesus.
We've got the power
in the name of, come on, one more time.
We've got
the power in the name. A shout of victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Praise God.
Hallelujah. Whoa. Terry's making his way to the lobby so he can shake your hand and speak a greeting to you. What a joy to celebrate 29 years like this at Abundant Life. Thank you, Terry Tripp. Thank all of you for being here today. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you Wednesday night.